became aware of the power of conversation when I was a stay-at-home mom of three preschoolers. Friends would call and I'd talk their ears off, desperate for adult communication. If I remember correctly, some of them quit calling. When the children became teenagers, I loved driving them wherever they needed to go, as when there was no eye contact, they were much more open and talkative, giving me an important view into their worlds.
Too much of living, breathing, and being alone opened that window specifically with Agnes. When deep in the ugly grays of winter, I called her out of the blue to ask if she would simply phone me for just 1 week for 5 minutes, just to ask me what I was doing for the day, so I could talk to someone, hear another voice. Note, loneliness being one of our conversational themes over the last year, to make my long story even longer, before long it was Agnes who suggested that our 5 minute sound checks were actually interesting, and going on for 20-30 minutes, we would just take off. I firmly believe that conversation saves us. It heals and reveals.
And now, as a boomer who doesn't have any interest in retiring, I am rejuvenated, replenished by conversation. I'm cognizant of the power and the importance of both conversation and story. And Suleika, I appreciate always being able to exchange ideas, thoughts, and words with you.
Well, one other thing. Whenever I mention that our podcast is called The Lost Art of Conversation, the response is always positive. There's always an emotional response of, oh, great, that's a great idea. So going with that, let's go with it.
Let's go. Okay, good. I'm so glad this week is winding down. Yeah, so, sorry, I just got up. My daughter's in town. Did I tell you about Heather?
You mentioned a bit, but tell me more.
Poor kids, add insult to injury. They're living in a little tiny apartment at the moment, and their car gets broken into.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I guess they obviously wanted in, because they're in an underground locked up parkade. And apparently these guys took wire cutters cable cutters to this wire mesh over a window and got in, broke into 8 cars.
Wow.
So it's like, really? We haven't had enough crap go down in the last month or two.
Oh, dear.
So anyways, they were supposed to come over on Thursday and they got over late last night because, of course, they smashed a side window on the car. And so they had to get that fixed and get the car seat cleaned out because it was full of glass. And
So where are they living?
Well, they're back in their block, but they've been given a one bedroom until the renovations are done. So, or the remediation or whatever it's going to be. But, and
does
who knows?
Does their insurance cover that? This is really disturbing. Does their insurance cover that? Are they?
Silly kids had buy renter's insurance at the top of their list of things to do.
Oh, no.
So they have renter's insurance now, but it's like closing the barn door after the horses have left.
Oh, I can't believe it.
So, and I mean, they're being really optimistic. They realize that, you know, the foolish oversight, but they're also looking at it from a point of view of, you know, like we've got baby number two on the way. We've been talking about getting a king size bed. You know, now they've bought a king size or like a sort of king size bed, which they'll work on, you know, whatever they're going to get when they get back into their big apartment. But, you know, like our sofa was really old and all sorts of kid stains on it, so we should probably have been looking at another one anyways, you know, that sort of thing. So they're looking at it sort of more philosophically and optimistically, as we didn't have insurance, but maybe in the long run for some of these things it's just as well they didn't buy us another queen size bed.
My friend who's a resident manager just up the street, I get all the lowdown about what's going on, not just rentalsmen, not just landlords, but developers buying up apartments and what goes on in apartments. And this breaking into underground garages is about 18 months. It's been going on intensely in the West End. And cops are always checking this out. It's a big issue. It's a big problem. Nobody's doing much about it. Cameras, well, they have to be almost everywhere. But it's a big, it's a trend.
Well, and unfortunately, it was about, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago that they got their car broken into. It was an old car, fortunately, although they had camping equipment in the trunk, which they lost. But it was in the outside parking spot or parking area. So it was like, oh, you know, roll your eyes, get frustrated. But now that they're inside, secure, all that stuff, it's just, it's way more frustrating because you think you're doing as much as you can. And these idiots still get in the door or in the window.
You know, the world has really changed. We talk about that. Oh, the world's changed. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the population of this city has changed by, what, something like 50,000 people in the last 20 years. That's in the Vancouver, not just the city. But, and how can I put this without sounding like an idiot? With more people, you have more problems. We have to become mercenaries.
You know, it's, I think part of it too is there's just nothing to keep people in smaller communities, you know, so, and, you know, we live on the West Coast. If you've got to be homeless somewhere, you're going to be homeless. The drug issue is another one. Yeah. It's just such a complex set of things that it's hard. And then the expense of, you know, of living out here on the West Coast. Yeah. It's not cheap, but there's a way better chance of getting a job or whatever in the big cities. You know, it's just, as I say, there's just so many facets that it's, it's a tough one.
Well, it's tough because innocent people are more and more being the victims without any recourse. That's my point, is that it's a responsibility and we don't have any leadership in that regard. Municipal, provincial, come on, get with it, guys. You're growing the population of the city to an extent where things are out of whack and you have to protect people. That's what citizenry is about. That's what the French Revolution was about. That's what the Russian Revolution was about. We're just so ignorant now. And it just disturbs me that we're so without regard for how to do it properly.
Well, I think, too, you know, like you look at the West End, and I mean, one of Ruben's pet peeves is the fact it's just becoming another Yale town insofar as like all those high rises that are being built. Like you, they just continue to infill and infill and infill.
Yeah.
Whereas if they would draw the line and then provide just exemplary rapid transit.
Yeah. I mean, there's solutions there, aren't there? I mean, you and I can talk about them. Ruben can say them, and they're just common sense solutions.
Yeah. But well, it's interesting too, because when I moved back from Toronto, I had a job where I was on the road every day to somewhere new. And I used to get so frustrated because I lived in White Rock. So coming up into Vancouver, of course, in the morning was ridiculous. It could take me up to an hour and a half to get where I was going.
Yeah.
And people would say, oh, you must be used to that. You must have found Toronto really, you know, frustrating then. And I said, no, in Toronto, when you've got 12 lanes of traffic that are, you know, stopped or slowed down, you've got a traffic jam. In Vancouver, it's just poor city planning. And even now, all that roundabout, when you come off the ferry to get onto Oak Street going north, it's like, excuse me, you're funneling how many, 6 lanes, is it, down into one?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just ridiculous. And I realize there's a river there, but, oh my God, people have crossed rivers before.
Well, it's the word, the phrase urban planning is not even in the lexicon at City Hall.
Oh, yeah, no, I believe it.
They used to have urban planner. And I guess things were, here's my scenario, my imagination. I guess things were going just plodding along slowly for so long. Well, we might as well get rid of that urban planning thing. And lo and behold, the last 20 years have been an explosion of changes, developments without urban planning.
As with every government and every problem that we have, they usually think in 4-year sound bites.
Yeah.
We only have to, you know, do something awesome for the next 4 years, and then maybe we'll get reelected. And if we don't, well, we've left our mark. So it's not about long-term planning of, like, what can we do over the course of the next 20 years? Whoops, it's almost time to talk to Suleika. How about that? so none of the government levels think 20, 30, 40 years out. Yeah, so that's one of my pet peeves.
Well, can I refer back to mythology just for a moment? I love it.
Of course, of course. Okay.
Now, here's a guy, Prometheus, whose name means forethought, was wise and was the wisest of the gods. And he was a Titan, so he wasn't just a god. He was a big god. He was a Titan. But Prometheus had a brother, and his name was Epimetheus, which means afterthought, and he was scatterbrained. Now, both of them were given the task to create mankind. Now, Epimetheus gave all the most powerful gifts to, what does it say here? Gave all the most powerful gifts to, can't read my writing. But thought nothing left for man until, okay. Basically, one of the brothers gave everything away to everything and everyone that couldn't use the talents of forethought. And when forethought came along, he said, well, we have to give something to man, but there was nothing left. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to love the mythology. This goes back thousands of years. People were just as remotely tied up in their ridiculosity as they are now.
Yeah. I think whoever gave ego to humankind should be shot.
Well, let's do that. Let's have a round of applause for shooting stupid. But, it probably won't go very far. Yes, it has been.
That's why they have the Darwin Awards.
Oh, that is good. Okay, so all the stuff that I've been sending you, are we on track? Do I need to do something else? I'm sure there's many things. I'm going through my list again.
Yeah, honestly, I have not been able to get sure. to anything this week. I've been, my knee is just exhausting me. And plus, I've had a whole bunch of extra work, like outside work happen this week. So depending on, I'll see Heather tomorrow. So part of my day tomorrow will be used up with family. Sunday is my day to buckle down and get going on this because I've also got something else happening as well. So, and then Monday we're back to just a regular time. I think I'll see Heather for a little bit because she's staying over till Tuesday, I think. But other than that, I'm so looking forward to just getting back to normal and not hitting the ground running every morning. Because I can't run.
Can't run. Well, two things. What is the, let's put some forethought into your knee. What is the long-term expectation of what's possible for that?
Who knows?
Okay. All
right. Because, I mean, it went out this time for no good reason.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting on the equivalent of a low bench.
Right.
And suddenly I went, oh, I think something's going on in my knee. And it was out, and it's been out ever since. It's been almost 2 weeks now. Wow. Now, that said, I think it's back in. But because there's a really localized pain when I walk, my physio is suggesting that there's a piece of debris that's been lodged into the joint, which it's just a matter of who knows, time, where, you know, who knows.
Well, certainly, is this one of the things that the body can magically absorb, or does it have to be removed? I mean, there's so many.
I think if it's broken down small enough, the debris is broken down small enough, it can to a certain extent be reabsorbed.
Right.
But right now I've got chunks of stuff and a flapping meniscus and my ACL is shot. So, and the ACL is the muscle that stabilizes, I guess, a ligament that stabilizes the knee or helps to stabilize the knee. So because it's shot, because I've done things in the past to my knee, I'm starting with a disadvantage. And then with the arthritis, they can't just go in and clean it up.
Okay. I want you to do something for me.
Okay.
I want you to complain just once. So that my tiny, insignificant problems, I can feel better about.
Complain about what?
This is outrageous. You should be jumping up and down and crying and stamping your feet and saying, oh, what the fuck is all of this about?
Like, well, there's a problem with that. Because if I stand on my left leg and stomp my right foot, I send major pain through my knee. And if I stand on my right foot and stamp my left foot, then I probably fall over because my knee is unstable and I'm not sure I can balance on it.
Okay, I'm being literal. And you're also being a bit of a smart ass, but I'll let it go.
It is what it is, you know. I mean, I trust my physio completely. He's so competent.
Yeah.
And I know he's doing everything he can. And I mean, I've got this grueling thing that he makes me do. And it was the one thing after I did it. I was almost in tears by the time I was finished, but it made my knee feel better. And I went like, oh my God, can I come in every day and cry over this machine? And you know, and I can see how some people use it for training, and it's called a blood flow restrictor. Wow. And oh my God, they basically tourniquet the thigh low, so that I can work my quad muscles, my thigh muscles, without really, I mean, the knee is affected because it has to do a leg extension. It has to push me away from the wall sort of thing, on a slider. But everything, it makes the muscle work so hard without really putting much pressure on the joint. And as I say, you end up in a state of overwhelming lactic acid. But when it's one of those things that it feels so good when you stop that you love doing it. So anyways, as I say, you know, for people training, for athletes, it's great because they can build muscle without taxing the joint as much as it would be taxed otherwise. And for me, it's just a matter of like, I'm not quite sure why it made my knee feel so much better, but it did for another day.
That is inspiring. I'd have to say that one of the most incredible things with all the technology is how advanced we can be with medicine.
Yeah, I think it's treatments more than anything. I don't do medicine.
Yep.
So.
Well, whatever. I mean, this machine you couldn't have invented 50 years ago.
So
there's something I was inspired by that. There's stories, there's people who talk about things they've done, and it's inspiring because that's what technology should be doing. It should be progressing society further, and helping people feel better is the way to do that. Healthy again.
Anyways, and when did I have my knee KG? Was that just this week? No, that was last week. Have we talked since
last week?
Yeah. So, you know, and unfortunately I talked to my physio this week and I said, like, what do you think? And he said it's such a limited application. And yes, it gave him information about my leg, but it was after an incident. So he was really hoping to see what was going on when I was feeling relatively good.
Yeah.
And of course that didn't happen. So he's got this little snapshot that isn't indicative of my norm, I hope.
Right.
Anyways, yeah. So, you know, we didn't get what we wanted from the knee KG, but, and I don't know if they'll buy one actually. He said, unless they can really build up that specific clientele.
Right. Well, you can't buy this blood flow restrictor for under $900,000. Am I correct?
Oh, probably. You can't get it. I'm not sure quite honestly, because it's not that sophisticated of a machine. It's like a very sophisticated blood pressure cuff.
Right.
Because it reads that, it sets, you know, it calibrates to whatever the blood pressure is. And then you come up with a number, and I'm not even quite sure what the number is, and it tightens. And that's sort of how it basically holds, like a tourniquet your leg, like the pressure.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how it works. And as I say, it's grueling because you're building up lactic acid and you just have to keep on going. And I mean, you don't have to, obviously. They say, you know, hit deflate if you can't handle it. And there's no problem.
What's the thing about lactic acid again? I can't remember. I do know it, but I can't remember. What is it about that?
Well, when you really work a muscle, lactic acid, the off, I don't know, whatever it's called, off put, whatever what it creates is lactic acid. Now, when you're jogging or running or, you know, doing something, you know, that's constant and not grueling, The lactic acid just gets sort of washed away. It's, you know, it just gets reabsorbed. I don't know what it does, but anyways, it flows through. Right. But when you do something super specific and super strenuous, so anything in the weight room, for example, it builds up lactic acid that doesn't, because there's not that overall movement, it stays in the muscle and it really hurts. Now, back in the day when Jane Fonda said, feel the burn, work through the burn, that was lactic acid. The burn is lactic acid. And it was the one area where she was incorrect.
Wow.
You basically don't want to keep just working something that's already got a whole bunch of lactic acid in it.
Well, that's funny in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, second thing I wanted to say was take Monday, be with Heather. You don't know what's going to come up. It's the random chaos theory of life.
Yeah. Well, right now it's because she's staying with her father. So part of that will dip. He does things and, you know, I'm not bad mouthing him. He has the best of intentions. So he just says, okay, no, I'll make a brunch and then you guys can be on your way. We'll eat at 10. Well, if you eat at 10, if he says you're eating at 10, you're actually going to be eating at 11:30, which he does put, he's a great cook.
Yeah.
But it is a frustration. And they have on occasion said, no, we have to be on this ferry. We are leaving.
Right.
Because they've missed reservations because they couldn't get out of the house. So anyways, part of our visit now that they've lost a day and some.
Yeah.
Will depend on what he's got planned as well.
Well, as I say, let's do Tuesday instead. I've got a long distance call at 8:30 in the morning, and I might not finish at 9. And I'll want to do some regrouping with notes. So I'm more comfortable with Tuesday anyway.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
All right. But there's just so much going on. Oh, well, we'll talk about that next week. That's good.
Oh, don't do that to me. Talk about
I'm going to do that too. So there. No, this is about the website. We'll talk next week.
All right. So
this weekend, I think I might have found a solution for the cat. Fingers crossed.
Oh,
no. Paws crossed. That it works out. And just a funny little note about my mom. I might start crying, but I'll say it anyway. I went to see her last night. Thursday is nail spa night, and there's a fabulous nurse there, and she really whips it up, and people, all the ladies come and get their nails done, and, you know, it's sweet. It's she's got three volunteers, and I was there, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm taking the nail polish off, too. And my mom was there, and of course, and I'm doing her nails, and then she says, can we go up for a smoke? I said, absolutely. And so her friend Marlene, who is a pain in the ass. I'm sorry. She's 80 years old and she must've been a pain in the ass when she was 20, 30, 40, and 50, but she gets on my nerves and I really have to quench my instinct to please just go away. Don't say that. But I have to put up with her because my mother, get this, pushes her wheelchair. My mother is 81 pounds or some ridiculous number. And Marlene is a tall, big girl in a wheelchair, and she wheels her out so that she can join us for a smoke. It breaks my heart. It's so tender. It's just so tender. And she, okay, here's the part that's going to make me cry. She would rather spend time talking to Marlene and smoking than being with me.
Well, obviously.
Obviously.
Yes, because she has to try and be someone she no longer is with you.
What?
Whereas with Marlene, it's like staff. Like, and I've always said that about staff is give them to us because we don't know any better. You come in, have the nice visit, and walk out again.
Right.
Whereas who she is right now is all Marlene knows.
Right.
And so Marlene has no expectations. But the minute you're on the scene, you know, you might refer to something from the past that she's got to struggle to find. You
Oh.
might try to have a conversation that she struggles to maintain some semblance of normalcy because her brain isn't normal anymore.
Do you think she realizes that?
The people with dementia, and I don't know if they realize it or if it's just a coping mechanism,
right.
But almost everybody with dementia has little strategies that they develop.
Right.
To, oh, yes, I remember now. Or, no, I'm sure you didn't tell me that. Or, mm-hmm. I was just joking. You know, little comments that sort of try to get them off the hook for their losses. Because nobody wants to say, yeah, you know, like I'm hopeless now about remembering you as a child.
Wow, that says a lot about how really tender that human soul is. I mean,
yeah. So I mean, it's not personal.
Survival.
I mean, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, it's personal insofar as, you know, she has had all this history with you.
Yeah.
But the fact that pieces of it are missing now is stressful for her because she does love you. You are her daughter.
Of course.
You know, so how do you justify saying to your daughter who you love and who is taking such good care of you, how do you say, I don't remember you doing that, or I don't remember that, or, you know, that sort of stuff.
Well, you know, it reminds me of some of the reading that I have done. And that is that there's a consciousness there. I mean, there's an awareness there, and maybe not verbally, but there's an awareness, a consciousness about things that have been lost.
Well, it's interesting, too, because, I mean, we talked about pet peeves in terms of the government, but one of my pet peeves in care is when staff act as though nothing is going in. Just because you're not getting the responses you want, or sometimes any response at all,
right.
I am not confident enough that things aren't still going in to not treat these people as though they were totally compos mentis and tuned in.
Right.
So, you know, referring to somebody as, well, you know, have you seen Chernasky today? Or did you take care of that with Chernasky? No, excuse me. Mrs. Chernasky did the, whatever. And even talking to them, like this whole, now, dear.
Yeah.
Like, shut the fuck up.
And to Trudy's credit, and I keep saying she's not the mother I grew up with. I mean, she's almost a new character. That's okay.
Yeah.
But she's really on it. She really makes an effort to... And I don't know if she's trying, but it comes naturally or something to her. And everybody loves her for that. She's witty. She's clever.
Mm-hmm.
She's on point. She doesn't want to be needy. She's surrounded by people who cry and cry out. She doesn't do that. And I'm guessing that that's a sort of a power card for her. A thing of, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think too, I mean, my dad, as he got older.
Yeah.
You know, whereas a lot of people mourn the loss of their peers and their family and, you know, maybe their cohort, whatever. My dad wore it like a badge of honor. Yeah, I outlived that one too. Oh, and I mean, that was just part of the asshole that he was at times.
Well, you know, it's fascinating, isn't it? That's really fascinating. People do not stop growing, developing, being, becoming, evolving. We just don't until the last breath is out.
Mm-hmm.
We may not know what the hell is going on in there, but it's always going on.
Yeah.
I believe that.
How much of it is just, something deep within us that takes care of, because I've often maintained that with, you know, when people say shock, they go into shock. I've often maintained that it's just that the brain will protect us right to the end. in this way too. It's not a conscious thought that, oh, if I do this or I do that or say this or say that, it's just the brain, because it has all these pathways mapped out and just imprinted, it comes up with this response or this reaction that sort of suits, but maybe doesn't, but works.
Just had a minor epiphany. Am I taking up too much time? Are we going over the
line? No, Heather. No, Heather had texted earlier, and they're not coming over till 10:30. And all I have to do right now is vacuum, so that'll take 15 minutes.
Well, I'll take 20, so you don't have to. No, I'll only take 5. I just had a revelation while we're talking, and again, this is the beauty and the importance of conversation—that wonderful sea of possibilities. There we go. But remember I said that my mother, when she was growing up, was a star. She was one of 11 kids. But in all the photos where everybody's in their dark black shirts, sweaters, looking down at the ground in the Depression, my mother has a brightly colored dress and she's got her hair done and she's smiling into the camera like she's not there. She's not surrounded by that. Yeah, well, yeah. Now she's able to do that again. And when she gets dressed up and she has her little Nancy Sinatra boots that she wears with ankle socks, and you know, she's still a star.
Well, that's and interesting too, because how I said, like, the pathways are so imprinted.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe the brain has just gone back to, oh, this is, you know, this worked.
Yeah.
So, you know, and once again, I'm just talking through my head. I don't know enough about neurology and neuropsychology and all that stuff, but it's just surmising based on years of seeing and observing.
Right. Anyway, that makes me feel better. Yeah, because we all want to protect the things and the people we love.
Yeah.
But she's fine. She's fine. Yeah. Okay. So cat, mother, things are fine. Okay. All right. I'm going to go stretch now.
Okay. If you want to come over and vacuum for me, that would work.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite jobs. Really, I love vacuuming.
Well, I've been procrastinating too because of my knee. And because I knew they were coming, to the point now where I do have like these killer dog hair dust bunnies in every corner. So it's really quite disgusting. I wouldn't let a blind person in here right now.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to go now, and we'll talk Tuesday.
All right, sounds good. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye for now.
Bye.